and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Monday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Look. Dreams can, once again, Jackie Schechner sporting her new Talking Liberally hat. Dreams can come true on the Stephanie Miller Show. Listen to this one. Hello, Stephanie. My name is Ryan. I am in Mesa, Arizona. I am an independent conservative.
Oh, boy.
He just stumbled upon our show.
Oh, great. Okay.
They're always conservative. Listen, you're not fooling anybody. You're not independent. I don't care for political parties very much. However, I vote for a Republican most of the time. And you know how I know that? Is because that line is really misspelled.
Oh,
most of my
of course.
However, I just D-D-I vote for a all one word Republican mist of the time.
Mist of the time.
Okay. But I have to say, what your radio show lacks are people from another point of view. I just think your show would benefit if you did
the
same. Just a suggestion from Ryan. What happens to the Stephanie Miller Show? Dreams can come true. Early Tate's tomorrow.
That's right.
Wouldn't you like to be a birther too?
I know Obama's buzz will make it through. He's a Kenyan and a Martian too.
Martians.
Birth announcements, they don't bother me. Cause I know he has a time machine. Oh, I'm a birther, he's a birther, she's a birther, we're all birthers. Wouldn't you like to be a birther too?
Let me explain.
Oh, I'm a birther, he's a birther.
We have to see, is it real?
Wouldn't you like to be a birther too? Be a birther, scream bloody murder. Be a birther, magna cum nerder. Be a birther, take stupid further. Be a birther.
Yay, Rocky Mountain Mike. He renewed the jingle for her.
He did. He freshened it up.
Yes. Were you questioning its freshness? I wasn't.
No. Okay.
No.
No.
Here's something that we did for Jim in order for him to endure that tomorrow. Guess what I brought him?
What?
Elvira live in studio.
Yeah. Yep.
Jim.
What?
I do this with him. Just eyes up. Eyes up.
I'm up here. Okay. I'm up here.
Eyes are up there.
Stop looking at my naked pictures from 1972.
I have to lunge at his screensaver right before she comes in the studio every time. Stop it.
Yeah.
That's rude.
No, she did a penthouse spread many years ago.
Yes, I know.
And those pictures are still out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Much to her chagrin.
But if you're expecting her to be on the TV in the Elvira drag, she's not going to be.
No, not at this hour in
she's
the morning.
She's going to come in as Cassandra.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She's hilarious and delightful nonetheless. And those are real.
They are
spectacular.
Yes, they are, in person. Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of, what a week we have.
I know.
Today, we have Rude Pundit, Eric Bollard, former and future, Alan Grayson on the big show. And then later this week, Stephen Weber,
live in studio.
Wow. And also Meghan McCain. And?
And Michael Ian Black.
Yay.
They wrote a book together.
Yay.
Wow. Yeah.
Yay. Hmm. All right. Has there been enough time since, and you know, it was just a mild, it's not every, he's fine, so there's been enough time to say, hey, Jim, Alex Trebek had a mild heart attack.
What are chest pains and shortness of breath? No, sorry, that's angina.
We were just wondering if the doctor, like, that needs to be in the form of the question. I'm sorry. Help me! Oh, no.
No, sorry.
Oh, sorry. No.
He hosted the Daytime Emmy Awards when I won my Emmy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I referenced him in my acceptance speech.
I remember him as the host of High Rollers in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm. That was awesome. Loved that show.
Mm.
You were a latchkey kid, weren't you?
Totally. I tell you, Brett Summers of Match Game raised me.
God,
and Charles Nelson Riley was my father.
That explains everything. He thought everyone's dad talked like that. It's like 8 at the dinner table. Can I have the gravy?
I can't help it.
All right. Anyway,
I was born
this
way.
We wish him well. He's recovering. He had a mild heart attack on Friday, and he's recovering. See, if it were a serious heart attack, I'd know if I would have done the joke right away. Could you please frame your...
Tragedy plus more time.
Frame your symptoms in the form of a question.
He is expected to fully recover and be back at Jeopardy in July for the new season.
There you go.
So.
All right. Oh, speaking of which, in his honor, who said, Jim, in 1984, I believe in the idea of amnesty for those who put down roots and lived here, even though sometime back they may have entered illegally?
Hmm. Adolf Hitler.
No.
Oh, he's dead. That's right. That
no.
Couldn't be.
No, that would be Ronald Reagan.
Oh,
in 1984.
Hmm. 1984.
Wait, you see what I'm going to do here. Idiot. That's clever.
Hmm.
Who said, Emperor Obama obviously could not care less about helping the Latino population. Now he's doing to Latinos what Penn State coach Jerry Sandusky allegedly did to the children of Pennsylvania. Using and abusing them. With his short-sighted politicking, Emperor Obama has hurt the Latino cause in the long run. Who said that?
Schmucker Carlson.
Oh, that was a good guess. That would be Michael Reagan.
Ah, well, yeah.
In his column. Mm.
Does he know what his dad did back in the 80s?
I guess not. But more
maybe
importantly, someone who did this post said, way to trivialize child rape, Michael.
Yeah.
Classy with a K. Thanks to President Obama, the children of undocumented immigrants are now given a chance to succeed in the only country they really know, are loyal to, love, and pledge allegiance to. Yet to Michael Reagan, this is tantamount to being sexually assaulted and traumatized for life by a sick pervert. Thank you, Michael, for what you add to the daily conversation. All right. So lots going on, right? We've got Fast and Furious. That makes me nervous every time I say it. It's too much for a Monday morning.
Yeah.
And then I gotta say, President. Oh, bam! Hmm.
Come to think of it, Michael Mukasey looks a bit like Vin Diesel.
Hmm. Yeah, a little bit.
Hmm. Hmm. The president was on it on the campaign trail. He and his team gleefully went after Mitt Romney on Friday for helping companies move jobs overseas. Gee, he's been awfully chatty about that on the campaign trail, Romney,
yeah.
About how very, very, very much against that he is, hasn't he?
I made so much money selling businesses overseas and firing everybody. I love firing people, as you know.
He declared, we don't need an outsourcing pioneer in the Oval Office. He was citing, the president citing, of course, the Washington Post story that we cited on Friday, reporting that Romney's old firm, Bain, invested in companies that specialized. Nay, specialized. It wasn't accidental. Specialized in the practice of relocating American jobs to low-wage nations like China and India. Hmm. Didn't the Romney camp try to make some, well, I think you're mistaking outsourcing for offshoring.
You're mistaking Indiana for India.
I think the president's team is like, yeah, I don't think the American people are really down with either.
No.
But and a lot of it, it's like that was completely untrue. They were outsourced, or offshored, both.
Yep.
Sometimes they were outsourced to, after they stripped them of their, labor contracts and pensions and benefits and yada, yada.
Mitt Romney made money by dismantling companies and firing people.
Yes.
That's his gig, his shtick.
The president said no.
That's his bag. It's his bag, baby.
It's his bag, baby. It's what he does. The president said today was reported in the Washington Post that the companies his firm owned were pioneers in the outsourcing of American jobs to places like China and India. Mm. Pioneers, the president continued. Tampa, we don't need an outsourcing pioneer in the Oval Office. We need a president who will fight for American jobs and American manufacturing. Thank you.
That was good. Who has helped American manufacturing? Oh, that'd be the current guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
President Obama.
Big time.
But apparently that's a bad thing.
Big. Huge.
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 All right. I was reading. I was going through the... I read every word of it, the Washington Post. It's really interesting. During the nearly 15 years that Romney... it was 15 years. He was involved in actively running Bain. Owned companies. Yeah, that's not the president's word, Washington Post word. Pioneers in shipping work from the U.S. to overseas call centers and factories making computer components. Our computer tech support guy we always call. That guy.
Press any key.
I don't see the any key.
No,
is it
no,
near
no.
Delete?
It is not any key. There's not a key that says any on it. I'm saying any key.
Is it near alt?
Do you have keys on your computer?
Yes.
Press any one of those keys.
I don't see a key. Okay.
That's... Okay.
I think that might have been an actual conversation I had.
Probably.
The computer tech support.
With the sitar in the background?
Yes. Romney in recent months has lamented the toll it's taken on the U.S. economy. He's been very, very concerned about this.
Mm-hmm.
He
concerned
has repeatedly pledged he would protect American employment by getting tough on China. They've been able to put Americans businesses out of business and kill American jobs, he told workers at a Toledo fence factory in February. If I'm president of the United States, that's going to end.
What? Huh?
But a Washington Post examination of security filings showed the extent of Bain's investment in firms that specialized in helping other companies move or expand operations elsewhere. where they can visit Mitt's money, which is also
elsewhere.
Invested elsewhere for someone that believes in America.
But that's going to end, my friends.
Investing in America, that's all over when I'm...
Because the Cayman Islands need so much investment.
Right.
Sure.
Switzerland's lonely.
Yeah.
Okay. Kevin in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
I am a liberal, and I just stumbled upon your show.
Oh, thank you. Yes. How are you enjoying it so far? Do you own a small business?
Well, no. What I want to say is, you know that Eric Holder, he is the first black attorney general that we've had in history.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Match that up with the very first time that the Republicans in Congress have voted to hold Attorney General in contempt.
Yeah, it's also curious. Also, first time president's ever been called a liar in the middle of a State of the Union or interrupted in the middle of the statement in the Rose Garden. It's weird. You're right. What could that all mean? What could it all mean?
Van Jones, Shirley Sherrod, NAACP, Acorn. Mm. And now with this, black. And they wonder why
blah, 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 as Rick Santorum would say. Yeah, Kevin, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's the thing. You've just so many things that are so, what's the word, Jim, unprecedented in this administration. Not in a good way. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, 17, just some of my binkies from the Republican primary I can't let go of.
Yeah.
Particularly blah.
Blah, people. I meant blah. Blah. People from Transylvania. Blah.
The worst explanation for a gaffe ever goes to. Hold your calls, Rick Santorum. I did not say black people. I said blah.
Blah. Blah.
Okay. 17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
I suspect she is kind of a wealthy girl.
Think?
Yeah.
A little bit.
It's a fictional song. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. His rudeness coming up at the bottom of the hour, the Rude Pundit. 23 minutes after the hour. Well, it is Dreams Can Come True Monday. It can happen to you. We were mentioned. Now we've made it because our show was mentioned at a knitting circle.
Oh, thank God.
Oh,
Jenny
time.
Jenny and Chicken knitting circles. We are huge. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
Hi.
It's not a knitting circle. It's the largest knitting and crocheting social networking site.
Okay.
Pardon me.
Awesome.
I stand corrected.
And yeah, absolutely. I would like to be the official sock knitter of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm sorry, official what now?
Sock knitter.
Oh, sock knitter.
Sock knitter.
Awesome.
So, yeah, your show was mentioned, and also Mike in Rocky Mountain Mike. He's no longer in Raleigh. So
yes.
He was mentioned as well.
Oh,
and
very cool.
I just wanted to tell you on my Stitching Liberally forum on there, it was either that or Wingnut Watch, one or the other. We were getting love.
Well, thank you, knitters of the world. Unite. Thank you, Jenny. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
All right.
Yeah, one pearl, two.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Step ball change. What?
What? No.
Okay.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm back in tap class now. I can't tap or knit. Lisa.
I don't picture you sitting around knitting. You're too ADD for that.
I'm too drunk. Just like on needle poles on my hands.
Yeah. Why isn't it working?
Lisa in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lisa.
Hello. How are you this morning?
Good. Go ahead.
It's a great day in Michigan. Hey, as long as we want to get off on the right foot in Michigan, I got to say the word vagina.
Oh, vagina. Hello. Good morning to you as well.
Somebody's head is exploding in Lansing. No, I was having a conversation with my ultra-conservative mother-in-law over the weekend, and she always wants to talk politics. I don't know why, because we always end up in a deadlock on that.
Yeah.
She was telling me that Ann Romney actually rides her dressage horses.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, that cannot possibly be
true. Not in competition, no.
No, no. I mean, she had been mistakenly tuned into MSNBC, which threw her for a loop. And she said to me, do you know what dressage is? And I said, well, yeah, I know what dressage is. It's a rich man's sport.
Yeah.
Yes.
As the steam started to roll out of her ears, she says, well, Ann Romney is going to be riding a dressage horse in the Olympics.
No, she's not.
No, she's not.
No, I do not believe that. do not believe that that is true, ma'am.
Yeah, no, I didn't miss it last week. Anne's the athlete in the family. No, the horse is the athlete.
Right. Anne writes the checks.
Yeah, all right.
She just dishes out the hay feed.
Yeah, all right, there you go. Thank you, Lisa.
May ride them, you know, therapeutically just on the off time, but she does not ride them in competition.
No. Would you like some, I had not heard, did you hear about the lawsuit? The dressage horse lawsuit?
There's Michigas in the dressage world?
Well, there was a lawsuit. Romney Family Values and doped up a horse so the buyer wouldn't know it was lame.
Oh,
allegedly.
Wow. Whoa.
Tommy sent this to us, she was already worth $50 million, but, apparently sued them for, they sold the horse for $125,000. Yeah. Superhit is the name of this particular horse.
Oh.
Had a lot of things that I can't pronounce in its system at the time of the sale, according to court documents. Testifying an expert in my 38 years of practice, I've never come across a drug screen such as this where the horse had been administered so many different medications at the same time.
Oh, God.
Romney and her trainers said the horse sold it in 2008 for $125,000. Dressage horse fun facts. Thanks so much.
Oh, well, okay.
Superhead had what a prominent veterinarian described as a staggering quantity of drugs in its system at the time of this examination before being sold, according to a toxicology report that's part of the lawsuit over the horse's condition. According to a toxicology report provided the horse's vet and testimony from the vet, Superhead had 3 sedative painkillers and 1 narcotic painkiller in her system when the horse was examined to check her condition pre-sale. The horse had a defect in its foot, and the plaintiff's lawyers alleged that they drug the horse in order to hide its condition.
Wow. That's evil on so many levels.
Oh, dear.
And some people say that that's how Ann Romney keeps people from thinking that her sons are lame.
Why? Well, they're lame in so many other ways.
Well, all right.
Don't involve their hooves.
Wanda in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Wanda.
Hi. You guys are so crazy.
We do be crazy.
I don't laugh a lot. I raise grandkids, so my summers are off because I work in a school system with middle schoolers.
Uh-oh. And nothing
so
funny about that.
And so I don't get to smile a lot at my age. But I just cannot wait until you guys come on.
Aww.
I enjoy you so much.
Thank you. You had, Wanda, you had some thoughts on health care. We got a heartbreak coming up here. Go ahead.
I believe they're going to leave it alone. They've done enough damage with Citizens United. They've done enough damage with Stop and Frisk. I mean, that law went down so quick.
Scalia is very into...
I registered my grandson one day at school, at college, first year of college, dropped him off at the house, went around the corner to get the grandgirl something to eat at a Wendy's, and on the way back, and the line was not even long, he's being stopped and frisked because he stopped to get his running.
Oh, boy.
I mean, everybody may dislike, and I have opinions too.
Yep, absolutely. By the way, Scalia, you know, big fan of the politics and the polling.
Yeah.
I wonder if you took a look at those numbers after Citizens United. About 70-80% of Americans disagreed with that decision.
Yep. Yeah, people don't like you, Scalia.
Everyone hates you. Boo. Okay.
And that just eats away at him. I just know it.
Always. I was going to say soul. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour. Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, God. You don't think she's having sex?
No, if her body temperature rises, the doc turns purple. I paid extra for that option. I can also explode her breasts at any time.
Good.
Awesome. Happy Monday. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Monday means only one thing.
It's Lee Poppet, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Papa?
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm delightful. I loved your work because you often are somebody that only noticed this. Mitt Romney's immigration speech sounded like he was talking to children.
Yes, it was like he was Mr. Rogers talking, putting on his sweater.
Such a beautiful man.
Before drugging a horse, I guess.
Yes. Why, hello, brown people. Yeah, he was, you were saying, his tone and words were the same as if he'd been lecturing grade school children. No, seriously, if you're Latino or Latina, you got to think Romney thought everyone there only understood basic English and couldn't get their bean-filled brains around complicated concepts.
Oh, boy.
So in addition to having no policy at all.
Yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to think that he can, it's as if he doesn't want to let anything out, and therefore the only way he can do it, now he's gone from the business speak obfuscation that we talked about last week to just talking down to people. Which, yeah. You know, don't you want me to buy your corporation? Oh, you want me to buy your corporation? Sure you do. I'm going to fire all your teddy bears.
We have some crunchy audio goodness from that, I believe.
Here I believe he's taking your vote for granted. I've come here today with a very simple message. You do have an alternative.
I'm saying it
slowly. Your vote should be respected. And your voice is more important now than ever before.
However, your goals and desires are not at all.
Yeah. Yeah, he is speaking very slowly, like he just assumes they all only have basic English 101.
Oh, my favorite was still, our nation benefits when moms and dads and their kids are all living together under the same roof.
Yes.
That's it. That makes a family.
That's a family, boys and girls.
Wow.
And then you also said he told another... I'm just going to bleep both to be safe. Another bull... pack of pile of lies and half statements that add up to what's becoming a uniquely Romney-esque approach to campaigning. Give them nothing and they have nothing to use against you. Yeah, how much longer, you know, Rude, I saw a lot of articles like that this weekend. How much longer can he do that? He virtually has taken a position on nothing, including immigration.
And he's actually declared, I'm just not, or his surrogates have declared, we're just not going to actually talk about that until after the election. But don't worry, it will be different.
Yeah.
And, you know, different in...
Well, he talks about his race against Ted Kennedy. Oh, I learned that the hard way. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do because, you know. And it's, well, this is different. You're running to be leader of the free world and you think you can get through an entire campaign without articulating any actual plan for anything?
Again, this goes back to the Bain Capital thing. I mean, do you think he actually, that when they made offers to companies, it was with the idea that we're going to gut you and take away your assets and make an enormous profit, and if you join with us, don't worry, you'll screw over your own workers, but maybe make a profit too. But it's just this, but don't let them know what you really are going to do. Don't let the people at the place that you're buying, don't let the average person know. Only those on the inside actually know what you're going to do. Sheldon Adelson knows what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's fairly stunning. And by the way, thank you for the fun facts. Romney repeated the Republican talking point. Obama did nothing about immigration reform until his directive last week, leaving out the fact the DREAM Act was passed by the House in 2010 and blocked by a Republican filibuster in the Senate despite having the support of a majority of senators. Yeah, somebody else last week did the math for us that, what was it, Chris, not even 50 days between when Al Franken was sworn in and when Ted Kennedy, died.
Right.
But he also missed a lot of votes and was not even there. So it's just, I mean, it's just such a, and that the mainstream media lets them get away with this talking point. Oh, he had 3 years. He didn't do anything. He had super majorities for 3 years. He did nothing about it.
Well, some will say he did nothing. And some will say that he tried to do something. The truth is somewhere in the middle.
Okay, that was very deep.
Thank you. You know, these are just, can I just say, these are just terrible people. Beyond politics, beyond the Mormonism, beyond everything else, they're just terrible human beings. Did you see the Romney sons on Conan?
Yes.
I don't know if you guys talked about that.
Yes.
You did. Okay.
Which particular? I want to see if you're going to say the same thing that I picked out, but go ahead.
Where he, the prank that he would play on his sons all the time.
Yes.
I mean, who does that to his kids? And
shoving his face in butter? Is that one you're talking about?
Yeah.
And how much more out of touch is it that they were sent to try to humanize him? Like, this is supposed to be an amusing anecdote and it reminds you of the same bully pranks as at Cranbrook. I'm like, you do it to your kids and your grandkids? You shove their faces in the butter or
and then
cream?
Laugh about it. Look at all that whipped cream on your face. You look stupid.
That butter was laced with cyanide.
Yes. Don't worry. That's
what a prank.
That's what I'm going to do with Putin.
Oh, God.
See if you can tell where Mommy and I hid the antidote. Also, I love your post. In brief, Scott Brown is kind of a see. So noted naked man, Scott Brown, agreed to debate professional ass-kicker Elizabeth Warden, as you say, at the Kennedy Institute, except he had a couple conditions because Scott Brown is a pussy. Miss Kennedy couldn't endorse any candidate in the race, which is hilarious because that'd be crazy if a Kennedy were to endorse a Democrat or something.
That's right. Nobody expects a Kennedy to endorse a Democrat.
Right. Nuts. Brown said basically... MSNBC, which was supposed to host the debate, because Roger Ailes always stays out of races whose debates his network sponsors. Yes, in their perfect consistency that they're always...
Oh, sure.
Kennedy, Vicky Kennedy responded with a mild-mannered version of suck on my freedom of speech. Poll.
Oh, dear.
Saying that she wouldn't remain neutral, and Brown told the Institute that he's out. In bitch speak, as you say, his campaign said, we regret that we cannot accept a debate invitation from someone who plans to endorse Scott Brown's opponent. Oh, boy. You say, or truly, Scott Brown is just a see, who was looking for an excuse to not have his face used as a mop by Elizabeth Warren. Ain't that the truth?
Oh, yeah. And the fact is that certainly there's other places that would pick up this debate, and he would come up with another reason not to. There's no way. I'll be shocked if he goes head-to-head with Elizabeth Warren. I mean, invite them both on Meet the Press or something.
Right.
Do something.
Is he going to be able to get away with that, not debating her?
I think that's going to play really poorly. I mean, I hope that Elizabeth Warren's out with an ad already about it.
Particularly that people like you have already called him out as a... pink patent leather shorts.
Yeah,
saying.
I think she could actually use that language in her ad, and it would appeal to the people of Boston.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Southeast.
Why, yes, that man is a...
He's a
wicked pussy. Yeah. Thank you.
Wicked retarded
pussy. Rude, we might as well get down with the, a game of the day, and that is guessing what the healthcare ruling is going to be.
Ooh, what's the healthcare ruling going to be? Let's see, is it going to be the total cluster F of getting rid of it, or is it going to be the maybe worst cluster F of only getting rid of the mandate? I'm going to go with getting rid of the mandate and keeping everything else. That's where if I were a betting man, that's where I would be placing my bet.
Really? Huh.
Yes. Actually, yeah. I am a betting man. Can I get a line on this?
Sure. It was interesting. Nancy Pelosi, obviously, she's been out there saying she thinks it's going to be 6-3 to uphold the whole thing. I don't know.
You know, if we were to actually be able to trust, say, Roberts and Alito and what they said when they were hearings to be on the Supreme Court, you'd think that they would uphold it and not just so randomly ideologically overturn the will of Congress.
Yeah. Well, I think, as you mentioned the cluster F, I think Republicans are panicking about this ruling too, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first constituent that comes back says, wait a minute. You mean that my daughter who just got back on my health care is now no longer on my health care? On my health insurance? Yeah, I mean, it's going to be terrible. They have nothing. They have nothing ready to go to replace it.
Well, I mean...
Medicare for all.
Yeah.
The only option.
Wouldn't that be something? Ha, ha, ha.
Well, the thing is...
We've replaced your affordable care crystals with single payer.
The idiotic thing is that this is seeming to come down to a question of semantics. And can something be a tax that is not called a tax?
Right.
And, that was the big fear. We're not going to call it a tax. We're going to call it whatever they called it in there, a fee or something like that, that people have to pay for health care if they don't get the insurance through their employer. If they'd have just said tax, well, first it would have never passed because that's raising taxes, but that would have been completely within what the Congress can do. So it really is just, is a fee imposed by the government a tax, which it sounds like they just put the Webster's definition in the law instead of the word.
Well, I thought, Nancy Pelosi was right on the money. She said you have to have the mandate for, healthcare reform to work from a financial standpoint. You have to eat your vegetables. You have to have the mandate in order for this to work.
Oh, my God. Are we back to the vegetables?
Yes.
Scalia used the
she
broccoli
took that broccoli and threw it right in his face. Listen to this. If Americans like the idea that they and their children cannot be deprived for a lifetime of healthcare insurance because of pre-existing condition, healthcare condition, then that will require some other action if that's to happen. And what would that be? There could be something passed in the Congress similar to what we had in the original House bill. which was a surcharge on the wealthy to pay for aspects of that, mm-hmm. which you just talked about. States can take their own actions. We cannot say to the American people, we're going to throw you at the mercy of insurance companies who refuse coverage to you. Let's hope and pray the court will love the Constitution more than it loves broccoli, and that we will have a decision that's based on the merits of the Constitution. So, you know, we'll see.
So wait. I don't get this. Wait. Does the court like broccoli and then vote 6-3, or is it not like broccoli and uphold? I don't. You know what? We're Americans. We don't deal in vegetables. All
no.
right.
If,
unless they are deep fat fried.
Right.
We are not eating any damn vegetables.
We deal in Big Macs.
The broccoli
right.
thing was when Scalia was doing the judicial equivalent of spinning on his back in the Walmart parking lot. Right. It was. You can't make people eat properly. It was, yeah, there was that little.
Yeah, that brilliant bit of jurisprudence there.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Rude. Well, we will obviously have something to talk about. I won't, but John Fugelson will have something to talk to you about that next week.
Yes.
When I'm on vacation, but good luck with that.
Sure thing. I'm happy to talk to Fugelsang. We will throw down because that man is overly sincere. Funny, but overly sincere.
You'll pull some insincerity out of him if it kills you.
I will.
All right. Thank you, Rudeness. See you next week, honey. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, kind of. Kind of. You're kind of a dancer.
Mm-hmm. It's all right. Some people describe it as a medical event. I say it's dancing.
Okay.
50 minutes after the hour, it is the
kind of a particle physicist,
sort of,
in a way.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Michaela in Washington State. Hello, Michaela. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. Hey, I hope this isn't too late, but I was listening.
It is. It's too late. Whatever it is.
I kid. Eric Frisch about the Romney kids on Conan. And the one thing, I didn't see all of it, but the one thing that struck me was the cruelty that Mitt has found its way into his sons when Conan commented on where you have five boys in the family. Was anyone tempted to be raised as a girl? And in unison, they turn and look at Ben, and Josh said, well, you want to take that one, Ben? And Ben, of course, is the blonde, kind of homely Anne-looking one.
Oh, no. Let's not go there. Yeah. No, I just don't. I honestly can't imagine my dad shoving my face into a stick of butter or whatever the whole story was. I don't.
That's not loving.
Who thinks that's endearing?
No. Yeah.
Oh, you got to smell this. It's really putrid.
Ha, ha, ha. Mm-hmm.
It's a prank, you see.
Max in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller.
And it's just the right height.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Max.
I just love Joe a lot. When they talk about the super majorities the president allegedly had, you know, not only did Ted Kennedy die, but Robert Byrd died. And his replacement, Joe Manchin, is such an obstructionist. He's not even going to the convention. And he's a Democrat.
Yeah.
Mary Landrieu, she blocked many things that the president put up. Ben Nelson blocked probably 60% of the president's programs. So did Blanche Lincoln, and she ended up losing her job because she was so ineffective. And the worst of all was Joe Lieberman, who was our nominee for vice president with Al Gore,
yeah.
And he blocks all these. So where are these supermajorities at?
Yeah.
No, he didn't have that.
Yeah. And they know that when they say that. It just, makes it sound like, the president's been sitting around eating bonbons for 3 years.
Hello, they lied.
Yeah. Mike in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hello there.
Hi.
I tend to agree with John Fugelsang, Rude Pundit, and Nancy Pelosi. I think it's going to be 6-3, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I don't think Roberts wants his court 50 years from now, 60 years from now, to be viewed as a clown court.
Yeah.
I mean, they're gonna look just like they were in the corporation's pockets, and I don't think he wants to have his court viewed that way.
Yeah.
I mean,
it would be once again, Mike, in this administration, unprecedented to strike down. Let me just say again, not playing the race card, but somebody was commenting on that the first black president's, this historic achievement that has taken how many 40 years, whatever, however long it has taken to achieve this, to strike that down. I mean, it really is. That is judicial activism.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think they're going to strike down the individual mandate just because of what Ruth Bader Ginsburg has been saying. She seems to be really, really pissed at the other people on the court. And so I think that she is on the losing end of this decision. and she's kind of lashing out at the other people on the court in public.
Why does that have to do with just the mandate?
Well, I think that's just the way they're going to rule. I don't think they're going to strike down the entire thing because there are way too many tentacles in it that are obviously very, very legal. However, the individual mandate, I think they're going to strike down.
And you don't, it's not pretty when Ruth Bader Ginsburg lashes out.
No.
She's skinny.
She's
scrappy, that gal.
Yeah. She's been hinting at a lot of strife between the Supreme Court justices.
You think? So,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, because Scalia's like reading talking points from Frank Luntz.
Exactly.
She's probably like, give me that. Stop reading off that.
It's just what he said.
Yeah, exactly. Stephanie in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
And not watching the corn grow because it got no rain. But anyway, we got our first ad. Hello?
Yes.
Stephanie, Illinois, you're on the Stephanie.
Oh, I think you need to, okay.
Turn down your radio.
Okay. Hey, it's Radio 101. Okay. The president on the campaign trail talking about immigration reform.
So to those who are saying Congress should be the one to fix this, absolutely. For those who say we should do this in a bipartisan fashion, absolutely. My door's been open for 3.5 years. They know where to find me.
Yeah, I love this. Senator Marco Rubio on Friday cautioned the same, you know, gathering of Latino officials that immigration reform is truly complicated. No, not really.
Too complicated for you to understand, yeah. So don't even bother trying.
Instead, are you ready for this, Jim? All sides were to blame.
Oh, God.
Everybody, look over there. You know what? Both sides do it. It's been really hard. So partisan. Partisan rancor in D.C. Hours later, President Obama said, reform is simple. Republicans are blocking it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. He said the problem is not the lack of technical solutions. We know what the solutions are to this challenge. Here he is.
We should have passed the DREAM Act a long time ago. It was written by members of both parties. When it came up for a vote a year and a half ago, Republicans in Congress blocked it.
Yeah, hello.
Shut up.
He said the bill hasn't changed, the need has not changed, the only thing that's changed was politics, and I refuse to keep looking deserving young people in the eye and tell them tough luck. He brushed aside claims from Rubio and Romney that a compromise on the DREAM Act can be reached only if the White House holds off on this executive order halting deportations. I mean, it's always this tit for tat with them, right? Oh, no, we're not going to do that until you...
That's exactly what they said.
Exactly, just like that. Obama acknowledged his recent action was temporary, but said he was happy to work out a permanent fix as soon as the other side comes around, which is what he was just talking about. The president.
It's precisely because it's temporary, Congress still needs to come up with a long-term immigration solution rather than argue that we did this the wrong way or for the wrong reasons.
As for Romney, Obama said your speaker from yesterday has a different view. In a speech, he said that when he makes you a promise, he'll keep it. He promised to veto the DREAM Act. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what Romney said to them.
Absolutely.
Because you know, he's so steadfast. Once he says one thing, he never ever.
You can take that to the bank.
Right. Take that to the bank. President Obama said just 6 years ago...
I had to go back to get my gun.
Yeah. Just 6 years ago, an unlikely treason. He's shame of an accident were to happen to your immigration reform.
Was that a Robert Blake reference?
Yeah.
Wow, just 6 years ago, an unlikely treason.
That was one of his catchphrases.
Yeah.
Take that to the bank.
Okay.
John McCain, Ted Kennedy, and President Bush came together to champion immigration reform. Obama said, I, along with a lot of Democrats, were proud to join 23 Senate Republicans in voting for it. Today, they have been driven from the table by a small faction of their own party. And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth there. And now here's Mitt, talking to them like they are toddlers.
Is the America of 11% Hispanic unemployment the America of our dreams? We can do better.
Yes,
I can outsource
almost 100% of your jobs overseas.
Yeah.
That's what I can do.
It's better from my perspective.
Exactly.
Because I'm collecting all the cash. Sucks to be you.
All right. We have a big show coming up. You know, could be a healthcare ruling any minute. We will be on that, like white on rice, as they say. Also, Eric Vollert from Meteor Matters for America coming up to co-host Right Wing World, and former and future Congressman Alan Grayson joins us as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't turn her off. Not in the middle of turning her on. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. We're just laying bets here in the studio. Will the leftover sushi I brought for breakfast, will food poisoning or the radiation kill me first?
Sushi should never, ever be left over.
It was on sale.
Oh, great.
All right,
Manager Sushi, leftover.
Manager Special.
Great.
All
expiration
right,
date 2009.
1-800-STEPH-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. All right, let's do some work in the world. Eric Bowler from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bowler.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bowler.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bowler from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bowler.
What goes with Chardonnay? Eric Bowler tweets. Hello, Eric Bowler. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I love how you always make a point of tweeting about the polls. You say, funny that in the avalanche of November polling, there hasn't been one outlier poll in Romney's favor. And then you say Obama goes up 7% in Colorado, 4 points in Florida, 13% nationally, and Peggy Noonan announces he's surrounded by bad polls.
Well, there's been a couple things going on, and one is, driven by Politico and a few other, very beltway-centric media outlets. Last couple of weeks or so, there's been this completely agreed-upon beltway narrative consensus. Obama having bad month, Obama having bad 2 weeks, Obama suffering worst stretch of presidency. And if you look at those articles, they're almost all void of polling data, which is typically how we find out how Americans feel.
Right.
About a president. But the polling never really matches this sort of frenzy, talking point that they whip up amongst themselves. And so, I always, reporting on the polling isn't the most important thing in the election, and Media Matters, we don't even really spend a lot of time on it. But I do love tweaking the narrative and the mindset. And so last week, lo and behold, it comes this Bloomberg poll that has Obama up 13 points nationally,
yep,
which is kind of amazing. And as I point out, up 7 in Colorado, which is a really big deal, up 4 in Florida, which, is different than what we had seen. And so what, particularly with the Bloomberg poll, all the pundits, all the news organizations sort of scurry around, explain how, you shouldn't pay attention to this poll. And hey, I agree, it doesn't match any other polls. Maybe it was an outlier and maybe it doesn't matter. But you don't see that when Obama takes a ding in a poll. It's not don't pay attention.
Yep.
It's this is really big news. So the double standard.
Yep. Yeah, and my favorite tweet of the week of yours, you say, kind of weird, on Thursday, Washington Post gave Obama a Pinocchio for claiming Romney outsourced jobs. On Friday, Washington Post details how Romney's Bain outsourced jobs.
Yes. Amazing.
Yeah,
I haven't seen an update from the Washington Post fact checker, but yeah, this week, very clear, and the Washington Post fact checker was actually kind of annoyed because they've hit the Obama campaign before for claiming that Bain outsourced jobs, and they're getting tired of the fact that Obama keeps saying it, and then Friday, I'm pretty sure it was on the front page, long article in the Washington Post about how Bain, time and again outsourced, or they call it offshore jobs. So, hey, maybe the Obama campaign was onto something. And it does sort of highlight, if you're going to fact check, if your only role is to fact check these assertions, let's get them right before you start calling people, campaigns dishonest.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, you and I've had this conversation, but great piece on is this disrespect unprecedented? And as you say, yes, you talk about Neil Monroe's infamously,
yes,
brazen and boorish act of disrespect last week at the White House. You say predictable though, because the GOP noise machine has for years depicted Obama as a lonely, un-American dictator / criminal, as someone unworthy of respect, which is exactly how Monroe treated him. So, I mean, you draw the comparison that this, what is becoming mainstream, is really unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think people who remember the Clinton years were amazed how, you know, how nasty the right wing was against Clinton, made some, you know, Rush Limbaugh making jokes about his daughter and the way they really went after Hillary Clinton. And people were sure, you know, we'd never see anything like that again. And sure enough, when George Bush was elected president, everyone talked about how you had to respect the office and, you know, first family was off limits and all that stuff. But boy, what we've seen since Inauguration Day, look, I mean, there was no right-wing blogosphere during the Clinton years, and that just sort of swung open the gates to all the crazies who now have access to the platform and are actually cheered, and people like Neil Monroe are just sort of acting out this hatred that ferments every day on the Internet.
Well, that's what, I mean, I think you say it perfectly. You say, unfortunately, the casual tone of Oval Office disrespect that's become a hallmark of right-wing media has found some pockets of acceptance, even imitation within the mainstream press. And you mentioned about it. Yes, it was Time Magazine's Mark Halperin who called Obama on national television. I mean,
the D word.
I mean, was caught, you know, but I mean, you're right. Talk about casual kind of disrespect that they think it's okay now.
Yeah, and Halperin has written columns how Obama is ignorant and clueless and over his head. Wow. And I pointed out, too, just sort of an innocuous piece that was in the New York Times about 10 days ago. It was talking about how Obama, you know, supposedly blaming the Bush administration for the economy. And the New York Times reporter wrote that basically, you know, Obama runs the risk of looking like a crybaby. We don't usually, in news stories in the New York Times, refer to the President of the United States as a crybaby.
Particularly when the majority of the American people agree with him. It's obviously Bush's policies that got us where we are economically.
Yeah, but to me, that was a real sign of using really casual, flippant language in the news hole of the New York Times that would have been just unheard of. And I think, and as I pointed out, gee, who's been using the term crybaby, you know, regarding Obama? Sean Hannity.
Two years
has been calling Obama a crybaby for blaming the Bush administration. And lo and behold, here it is seeping in the New York Times.
Well, there you go. When you can't tell the difference between Sean Hannity and the New York Times, our point is made. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, get some more. Bill O'Reilly on the Fast and Furious scandal, which is worse than Watergate, as you know.
Well, the story is all about the family of Brian Terry, the Border Patrol agent who was killed by a gun lost by the feds in the Fast and Furious gun scandal. Mr. Terry's parents want to know what happened, and they have a right to know that. If it were your son or daughter killed in a government screw-up, you would want to know all the details as well. Again, Mr. and Mrs. Terry have a right to know the entire story as to how their son was killed. But the Obama administration doesn't want to explain the situation. That's how simple the story really is. The Terrys want to know. The president doesn't want to tell them.
That's it. Oh, boy.
And so we now have a huge controversy.
Huge controversy.
If you want to know the whole story, this thing started during the Bush administration under Mukasey. So, forget that.
You know, O'Reilly has a point. The Terry family has a right to find out, just like the Dillman family has a right to find out. And there's something called the Inspector General, who is now overseeing a very large investigation over the Fast and Furious, and the White House has given the Inspector General complete access to everything they need. What's going on in Congress has nothing to do with finding out what happened
in terms of
the Terry family. That is a specific investigation that is being overseen, and the White House completely cooperating. The nonsense in terms of Holder and Fast and Furious and Capitol Hill has nothing to do with that. That is just a game of gotcha because they're chasing this crazy conspiracy theory that Obama's running guns to Mexico in order to take away your guns in America.
Yes. By the way, I saw one analysis of that, what O'Reilly was just talking about. Border Patrol agent Brian Terry was murdered in December 2010 after a gun battle with a group of five Mexican bandits. Two assault weapons discovered at the scene had serial numbers matching guns that had been tracked in Fast and Furious. Neither could be linked to the bullet that killed Terry, which was too damaged for ballistic analysis. Moreover, these were not, quote-unquote, our own weapons. They were weapons that gunrunners purchased and smuggled to Mexico. The fact that ATF agents were watching them do so and tracking serial numbers does not mean they were, quote-unquote, our weapons. Precisely the same weapons would have gone to precisely the same places if Fast and Furious had been launched and Terry would still be dead. So, I mean, it really is incredible, them trying to turn this into Watergate over this, right?
Yeah, and Daryl Issa was on Meet the Press today, and when asked, he conceded that the White House has had no involvement in Fast and Furious. Look, no one is defending it. The program is over. The government is investigating what went wrong. The government investigation has complete access to the documents they need. That's not a controversy. What's going on, like I said, Republicans are chasing this crazy right-wing blogosphere conspiracy theory that literally the Obama is running guns because he wants to take away everyone's gun in America, which makes no sense.
This isn't right-wing lunatic fringe. This is Daryl Issa on Fox News. He gets to have subpoena power, and he's a believer in this crazy conspiracy theory.
Joe McCarthy.
Yes.
Yeah. So if the Inspector General is inspecting everything and has full access to everything the White House has on this, why is this investigation going on in the first place? Yeah.
There was an interesting piece. I think it was in Daily Beast over the weekend, and there were reporting from the conversations that ICE's office had with the DOJ, and they basically wanted a scalp. They realized this thing was going nowhere. They needed to show the right wing, so they wanted, you know, someone high up in the Justice Department to resign, and then they could go back and say, we got it, we held them accountable, we're done. But they're looking for an exit strategy because none of this makes sense. My other quick point I love is this, you know, the right wing claim that the liberal media is ignoring this huge conspiracy about the Fast and Furious. You know, every news organization over the last 2 years has looked at this, and every news organization has come to the same conclusion of, what are you talking about? Show us the evidence where Obama was running guns in order to take them away.
Yeah.
None of this makes any sense.
So, we don't need no stinking evidence.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially since the program was begun under the Bush administration.
Yeah, there was a very similar program under the Bush administration.
Yeah, that's just how clever this Kenyan president is.
No one is defending it. They're looking into what went wrong. Where is the controversy here?
Yep. Exactly. All right. Eric Boehler remains in the sidecar. We continue Right Wing World after this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's her political party, and she'll cry if she wants to. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Stephanie Miller.
Okay, I get it. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay, breaking news.
Yeah, the Supreme Court has rejected parts of the Arizona crackdown on immigration law that require immigrants to carry papers and forbid applying for work.
Okay. That is just breaking news.
Yeah, so
they
have struck down most of Senate Bill 1070.
Let's do a brief woot before we know the details.
So the bill is mostly dead.
Mostly dead.
Not sincerely dead.
Shane
He's like, it's Hosni at this point. It's Mubarak-esque. Okay, Eric Boehler rejoins us from Media Matters to continue Right Wing World. Eric, you have a quick reaction to that?
I'm just reading the details, so I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, we are too.
It's sort of definitely some good news, bad news for everyone, I think. I think it's too early to read the tea leaves in terms of what that might mean for Thursday.
See, we're starting to share a brain. I was just going to ask you that. And you answered it already. You complete me. All right, here he is, Mike Huckabee on the president and talking about immigration reform.
I mean, if you're 22 years old, do you really care about the intricacies of legislation? No. What you care about is results. And the results are very clear. Country's in a huge debt. They're in debt. They don't have jobs. They can't make up enough money to pay their debt. And they've got a president who promised them great things, pie in the sky, and they got pie in the face. And these are not kids who are happy about it.
I'm sorry, not immigration, just about youth, the youth in general.
So he's saying that American youth should be insulted about the immigration policy?
No, I'm sorry, that was not about immigration. That was just in general him talking about how he hasn't done anything for young people, the president.
Oh, right. This is, you know, it's interesting to watch Huckabee and the right-wing media talk about, you know, how Obama, he must be in trouble with the youth vote. He must be in trouble with the Jewish vote. He must be in trouble with the Hispanic vote. None of this is ever backed up. I mean, the overwhelming majority. I know they've been pounding the unemployment rate for youth voters, but the idea that they're just going to vote on whether they have a job or not, I mean, typically voters are interested in an array of issues. And this idea that, you know, Obama has lost the youth vote, to who? Mitt Romney?
Yeah, and by the way, and he's the one, of course, once again, having to say stop playing chicken with the student loan rights and do it.
Yeah, right, I mean, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, okay, Lou Dobbs on Hannity.
And I do believe that if you do see an uptick in markets, a strong uptick, a change in the, if you will, the climate more positive, it'll be because, in fact, people are getting a sense that Governor Romney is more likely to win the election.
You see how that works? The markets are going to go up because they're thinking that Romney is going to be in.
It's so funny when listening to these people using the stock market to fulfill their agenda. You know, because of when the market goes down 200 points, Obama hates capitalism. But if it might go up there. Look, I think days after Dobbs said that, the market actually went down 200 points last week, if I'm not mistaken.
So, exactly. I think the market is more affected by Lou Dobbs opening his pie hole. I think.
the only thing funnier than them talking about the stock market is them talking about future gas prices.
Exactly. All right.
Which are now down for 11 weeks.
That's right.
There you go. Monica Crowley on Fox News.
There are some documents that have already been produced that there were discussions in the White House among the president, among the attorney general, that they wanted to seek some sort of pretext to crack down on Second Amendment rights. Now, we haven't seen that evidence yet. It is speculation. But this administration is either out of touch or that has engaged in constitutional abuses or has violated the rule of law on other things, whether it's the illegal immigration move that the president invoked last week, or whether it's Obamacare, which is so constitutionally dubious that the Supreme Court is going to rule on it this coming week. So I think it fits into a broader storyline here that this administration generally has been out of control.
Based on...
There it is.
You go ahead, dive in, Eric. I'm not sure where to start.
Well, you talk about fishing expedition. We want to see these documents because there's kind of sort of rumors that there's a discussion about Obama wanting to take away your guns. This is straight out of the NRA playbook. They've been telling us about how Obama wants to take away his guns. Obama hasn't mentioned guns in 4 years, neither do Democrats.
Proof that he wants to take their guns away.
Yeah, it's more proof. Even more proof.
That is the argument. Now.
The absence of evidence is evidence.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, and Brick Hume, did he accidentally say something true? Uh-oh.
Republican brand name is in terrible shape.
Oops.
And people are not naturally sympathetic to the Republicans in Congress. They're really not naturally sympathetic really to Congress as an institution, but certainly not to the Republicans. So anytime the Republicans do anything big or bold, they run the risk of people not liking it just because it's them doing it.
Wow. And also because people don't like the idea of capping their Medicare exploded.
They like Brit Hume better when he's saying things like...
My hunch is he was saying this in reference to the Holder sort of witch hunt, right? And Congress spending all this time, debating whether they're going to cite the Attorney General on this conspiracy theory. But, Britt has been in D.C. a while, and I think he realizes when, the party sort of goes off the rail. And during an election season when supposedly you're obsessed with jobs, you're going to spend all last week talking about this conspiracy theory that you claim, the Attorney General is a part of, and how it's worse than Watergate. I mean, people who live in D.C. just must, who lived there a few decades,
and
just
Eric,
must laugh when they hear that.
Don't you love when they call Republican ideas bold, which is, I guess, their code for just awful, like Paul Ryan's budget. It's bold and courageous, and yes, holding the sitting Attorney General in contempt, it's a big, bold move. Like, oh yeah, it is. It's an equally awful. Eric, always a pleasure, and we will, I'm sure, talk to you soon as all these decisions come down from the Supreme Court. Thanks so much.
Okay, talk to you. Bye-bye.
All right, there he goes. He cannot wait to get off the phone with me. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. All right, we will talk about the immigration ruling as soon as we get some more of the details as we continue
and
on this.
A future, former and future Congressman, Alan Grayson.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Dude, I'm a girl, okay? Our girl parts are like a spider web. Sometimes you're going to catch stuff you don't want.
Boy, howdy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. All right, the immigration Supreme Court decision has just come down. If only I had somebody here with a bunch of fancy Harvard degrees, including a lawyer one.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Good morning, Alan, former and future.
Good morning. I bask in the warmth of your presence.
Thank Aww. You. Me to you. Hmm. Now, former and future, obviously you heard the breaking news. It's obviously we're all scrambling to get the details, but I know some are already casting it as a victory for the president. The Supreme Court has struck down key parts of the Arizona immigration law. What is your quick take on what you've heard thus far?
I think it's stating the obvious. I don't think we can have 50 different immigration policies in the United States. I think that the one in Arizona was animated by nothing but racism, and I'm not surprised that the Supreme Court struck down three parts of it. I'm only surprised they maintained one.
That's what's confusing. We were just trying to go through what they maintained.
The court did uphold one of the provisions, a requirement that local police officers check a person's immigration status while enforcing other laws if reasonable suspicion exists that the person is in the United States illegally. Now, that seems to go against the provision that they struck down, saying that immigrants are required to carry their papers or whatever.
Well, I think that what the court may have been saying was that they're going to have to review these things on a case-by-case basis. I think that what they're doing now is judging whether it's facially constitutional or not. It seems like a situation like that could depend upon a lot on the facts of the case, and maybe we'll see lots and lots of litigation over this in the future.
You know, obviously, Eric Bollert was just on with us saying, you know, does this mean you can read the tea leaves on what they're going to do on health care or not? What do you think?
No, completely different.
Yes, that's what he said. I just wanted to see if you concurred. Obviously, it looks like the ruling will either be today on health care or on Thursday. And again, we have all these scenarios. I was reading a Wall Street Journal piece. Either, you know, the entire law is upheld, the insurance mandate is struck down, or just the mandate and two related provisions. Do you have any sense of which way they're going to go on that?
If they strike it down at all, they should just strike down the mandate and nothing but the mandate. The question is one of severability. And severability is the question of whether part of the law can be upheld while the rest of the law is struck down. That's supposed to be a function of two things, what was intended by Congress and whether the law can function if parts of it only parts of it are intact. I can tell you I voted on it. I think it's fair to say that the people who voted in favor of that law intended that whatever parts of the law could be found constitutional would be found constitutional. That's why we voted on it. We don't vote on things to have them found unconstitutional. We vote on things on the premise that they're constitutional, and we want it kept that way. So the intent of Congress really isn't an issue in this case. And I don't think that whether the law can operate separately if parts of it are struck down is really much of an issue either. The parts of the bill that matter most to human beings, to people living in the United States who need health coverage, are things like the bar against discriminating against people for pre-existing conditions. Obviously, that can be upheld regardless of whether there's a mandate. The extension of coverage to people's children under up to the age of 26, that can be upheld. The affordability credits that are going to give people discounts on their insurance, big discounts on their insurance starting next year, that can be upheld. The extension of Medicaid, that can be upheld. So if the court's going to make any sort of rational decision that shows any respect for precedent, if they strike down part of the bill, they'll leave the rest of it alone.
Well, I know Tom Harkin, among others, Senator Harkin, says he'll respond swiftly to any adverse Supreme Court ruling with legislation to reinstitute parts of the health care law that got struck down. I mean, what is going to – talk about, like, the original mess in trying to get this done. What is going to happen, do you think, congressionally, should that happen?
I don't think that we'll see anything like that happen between now and the end of the year. I think it's possible that if the Democrats retake the House – and hold on to the Senate and the presidency, then you might see something like that happen. But it's going to have to happen the same way that the original bill was passed, at least in part through the reconciliation process, because the Republicans are going to dig in their heels again. They certainly won't let anything like that get through the House this year. And next year will be just a function of who's in charge.
So your point is we need to get us more Alan Graysons and Elizabeth Warrens, as I've instructed you to do.
I'm far too humble to say that. I'll let other people say that.
Well, I'll say it for you. You know, it's interesting. On every subject, though, an Obama campaign official accused Mitt Romney and his Republican Party of rooting for bad economic news to improve their chances of winning, which, you know, I think is becoming abundantly clear. He also welcomed back reporters who had accompanied Romney on his bus trip, or as the official quip, the tour of states that are doing better but not because of Obama tour. I mean, it's incredible, right, in your state to watch, what's his name, Scott, try to take credit. I mean, the Romney camp had to actually tell him to shush about how well the economy is doing in Florida, right?
The whole thing is that Romney's game plan is to say nothing, do nothing, and just wait for that $1 billion of free advertising to come his way from the multinational corporations. And the billionaires who are just desperate to get rid of a Democratic president, nothing came out of that bus tour, nothing. I think that if we'd been following Romney around during the bus tour, we've heard him say, gee, I didn't know they made limos this big.
Yeah.
Other than that, nothing. I mean, they're going to run a campaign that's like the Seinfeld show, a campaign about nothing. And just wait for the negative ads to hit the president.
But, Alan, I mean, is he going to get away with that? I mean, how can you really get through an entire campaign without really stating exactly what your plan is on anything?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they can put a ham sandwich up against the president, and those negative ads are still going to hit the president over and over and over again, just like they did in our campaign in 2010, just like they're doing right now. The Republicans aren't going to even nominate somebody against me until mid-August, and already the negative ads start, and they start at the beginning of May.
Yeah, filling the blank against Grayson here. By the way, I have to give you credit for this is like the old National Lampoon, isn't it? You ask on your website, you say, I'm asking you to contribute to our campaign today for a reason you might not expect. It's to keep Mitt Romney's dog safe.
Yes, right. No, I mean, I'm horrified by the thought of what will happen to Mitt Romney's dog if he becomes president.
Yes. Yes, and the amount of things he'll be strapped to the top of. So you write, if you care about...
Right, starting with the limo driving down Pennsylvania Avenue to the inauguration.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, then the helicopter on the way to Camp David.
Yeah, so...
And it's only a matter of time before he straps in the top of Air Force One.
Sure. So you say if you care about Mitt Romney's dog, if you care about puppies and kittens and babies and cotton candy, you really have no choice. You have to contribute to our campaign, and you have to do it today.
Well, right. I mean, I'm running for office in Central Florida. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's where all the elections get decided, right here, in Orlando.
That's right.
No, well, you said that if obviously if the president wins Florida, he wins, right?
That's right. And we're doing things right now that are going to help to make that happen. We have 25 people out in the field every day knocking on doors. I don't see the president's campaign doing things like that here in Florida, but we're doing it, and it's going to help the whole ticket up and down. It's going to help to keep the Senate because Senator Nelson's on the ballot. It's going to help to keep the White House, and it might even help to get me back in Congress.
Yay. And the president is up 4, I think, in the latest poll I saw out of Florida.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to fluctuate a lot. The negative ads haven't really started to hit him hard yet. I think that people are going to be horrified when they see that, and then it'll just be sort of a character test for America, where they can look past all these negative ads they're going to throw at the president, throw at me, throw at everybody who has a head and a heart.
I can tell that your phone has rung about 17 times since we've been talking, because everyone's trying to get you on to talk about the Supreme Court ruling. Where's the guy with 7 degrees from Harvard?
At your service, madam. At your service.
There you go. He's with me. Back off, you bastard.
I only have eyes for you.
Oh, you precious, precious man. Real quick before you go, the Fast and Furious thing. I mean, we were just talking to Eric Bowler about the fact that it is incredible that Daryl Issa has subpoena power. Someone who believes in basically this nutty conspiracy theory that the president wanted this to happen so that he can take your guns away.
It's bizarre. I mean, the thing started in 2006. It ended in 2011 when Eric Holder and the president ordered it stopped. And somehow he's the bad guy. How does that work exactly? You know, it was a sting operation. They put these guns out there in the hope that they would trap the higher-ups.
Right.
I'm not saying whether that was good or bad or indifferent, but I'm saying that the decision was made in an earlier administration, and this administration stopped it.
Yeah.
What else do you really have to know?
Right. That's what I said. I literally, when I came in one morning, Chris, I had to ask you to explain this to me. I'm like,
right.
I don't get, okay, it started under Bush, and he's like, what, where's, there's no there, right? They're trying to manufacture a scandal, and to keep throwing out Nixonian is just beyond hilarious, isn't it?
It's just the current administration's version of whitewater. They're trying to manufacture a scandal. It's just what you say. I'm just surprised they haven't asked Ken Starter on the whole operation.
All right. Former and future, I want you to start every interview you do this morning with, as I was just saying to Stephanie Miller.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I start every day of my life that way.
You are magic. All right. Congressman with guts.com.
That's right.
That's right.
All right. Do it now for the puppies and the children and the cotton candy.
Absolutely.
I love you, Representative Alan Grayson.
Same.
All right.
Thank you.
Oh, I just want to...
I want to see a picture of his new haircut.
I want to snuggle with his handsome, romantic, just like my dogs.
You said he got a new haircut.
He did. He's freshly shorn like a schnauzer, and he looks delightful. So handsome and romantic.
Are you talking like Buddhist monk haircut? Or...
I just schnuggled with him in Boston.
Schnuggled
with him.
All right.
45. He did panel with us for Sexy Liberal. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Huh? Inside.
What?
Stephanie Miller.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, wear you out. That's right. 49 minutes to the hour, 1-800. Maybe I had a better weekend than I thought. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, we have our legal animus coming up.
Yep. Analyst.
Right.
Analyst.
Right. Ian Millhiser to break it down. Break it down on this new the Supreme Court ruling just out this morning, in case you just tuned in. Supreme Court struck down key parts of the tough anti-illegal immigration law enacted by Arizona. They are saying the decision a victory for President Obama, who had criticized the law, saying it threatened to undermine basic notions of fairness that we cherish as Americans. They did uphold one part of it, which we still are somewhat confused about. Alan Grayson has, by the way, 3 degrees from Harvard, and I have
none.
3 less than that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the Supreme Court did uphold the requirement that local police officers check a person's immigration status while enforcing other laws if they have reasonable suspicion that the person is in the United States illegally.
But I thought that was the egregious show us your papers part of that. I thought that was the...
Well, it doesn't sound like if they were arrested for some kind of violation.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't. You just can't be pulled over
for
having
brown.
Too much... Yes,
right.
Too much brown skin.
Exactly.
Okay. Dana in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dana.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are
you? Good.
Just a suggestion for tomorrow when Eva Braun comes in.
Orly Tate.
You should wear, like, I Love Kenya t-shirts. Or
that's an awesome idea.
My president was born in Kenya, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Yeah, Jim.
You know, something like that, really offensive. And just decorate the studio.
Chris, can you find us some Kenyan wear? There's got to be some birther t-shirts.
Exactly. Should I bring you with the shiki?
Give me some birther. Get me some birther merch so I can... I can seem like I'm down with that.
Some
all right.
Barbie and Kenyan dolls.
You see?
You see what you did there. Dan in Montana. Hi, Dan.
Hi. I was listening in earlier about Mitt Romney and how much of whatever causes him profit or pleasure or entertainment comes at other people's expense. I mean, whether whether it's the businesses he closed down during his tenure in Maine.
Dan, that's what we always say about right-wing humor. It's always, they're punching down. That's all. That's why it's bully-based humor, in my opinion. All right. Carlos Gutierrez is a Romney advisor.
Yes.
Oh, I see. He got so he must be. He must be.
He must
be
speak
a friend,
for all Hispanics.
A friend to the Latino because yes.
November 2010. That's exactly what the pattern has been. Before an election, let's promise something to Hispanics. That bill had things in there that couldn't get bipartisan support. Republicans said, don't ram that bill now. We're in the middle of an election. You did it anyway, knowing that it wouldn't pass, but it didn't matter. You made the promise. You got the Hispanic vote, and that's been the pattern. This administration has played with Hispanics.
Oh, I see. So the Republicans blocking it is the reason why the president...
Right. They're blocking it to save
couldn't
them
deliver
themselves.
Immigration. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, Marco.
Rubio.
I know we're not going to round up and deport 12 million people. I know we're not going to grant amnesty to 12 million people. And somewhere between those two ideas is the solution.
Yes. Yes. Starting with the Dream Act, which...
Well, of course he's going to tell that to a room full of Latinos.
Yes, and the president offered the solution, when he gets, and it passed the House.
Right. When Rubio gets in front of a room full of white people, he's going to tell him something completely different.
Of course.
That's the way Rubio is.
Yeah. Mitt Romney's aides had suggested that when he appeared before the that Latino group on Thursday, he would address immigration, but guess what?
Computer says no.
So much. He only reiterated what he said earlier. He said, I love this. I don't know. It's such Romney speak.
Yeah.
I will put in place my own long-term solution that will replace and supersede the president's temporary measure.
I don't know what it is, but...
Yeah.
Whatever
what
I said,
is it?
I'm
you won't tell us.
Yes. No, he won't.
Yeah.
The question of exactly what such a long-term solution would be, he isn't saying.
Yeah.
Vague, general, or downright evasive policy prescriptions on some of the most important issues facing the country, becoming the rule for Romney. This is according to a Politico piece.
Didn't Rubio come to this country as a juvenile with his parents?
He did.
From
and then he's
a Spanish-speaking country.
And he's still pretty juvenile, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Why am I not being vetted?
And then he was in a boy band.
Right?
He was.
I know. A Mormon boy band.
Yeah.
Oh, an Osmond-esque band. Romney is remarkably candid, although as though he's reading the stage directions about why he won't offer up details. He thinks it will undermine his chances to win. Oh, all right. Well, then carry on. Okay. Fine. If I tell you what I'm going to do, why would you vote for me? As he enters the heat of this year's campaign, Romney is testing just how far he can go in not telling voters what policies he'd pursue in the White House. This political piece talking about exactly what we've been saying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, issue after issue, he's got nothing. His campaign spokesman, Yukon Cornelius, said yesterday. What's he got on that? Huh?
Nothing.
Okay. Stephanie in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hi. I didn't have my radio on before. I was watching the corn not grow because of the drought down here.
Okay. Sorry.
And the bee chasing me, and I dropped my phone. Anyway, we had an ad here against the health care, and I was amazed that they used 3 points. It was a doctor saying that she is now going to have to talk to the government about your care, what she's going to do for you. Then she also talked about the lines are going to be so long that no one would get in to see a doctor for 6 months. And then her third point was, that now they're going to have to drop all their older Medicare people because they won't be able to get care under this because of their age. And so they're starting already said if this gets passed, we're going to start again. Fighting it. And this is what they're using, the same old stuff they used the first time.
Yep, exactly. Here we go again. Mm-hmm. I'm exhausted. Do we really have to go through this again, the health care debate? Really?
Well, the Republicans seem to want it.
All right, Joe McCarthy, as we call Daryl Issa.
Yes.
He, of course, last week held a vote finding Holder in contempt. Issa said yesterday on Fox News he expects a vote in the full House this week to yield the same result. So it's the first time in history, Jim, time in history that either chamber has voted to hold a U.S. Attorney General in contempt.
Also the first black Attorney General. Coincidence, I'm sure.
Democrats have called it a fishing expedition. Do you think? Plink. Because it has yet to turn up any evidence of a government cover-up. But he said...
Which is proof that there's a government cover-up.
He said, no, we're not fishing. No, we're not.
Just shows you how effective the cover-up is.
Zzz, blink. But you get...
You're making sound effects with your mouth now.
Zzz, blink. Okay, here he is on Fox News yesterday with Chris
Wallace. You have any evidence that White House officials were involved in these decisions, that they knowingly misled Congress and are involved in a cover-up?
No.
No, we don't.
No.
And what we're seeking are documents we know to exist February 4th to December that are, in fact, about Brian Terry's murder. Who knew and why people were lying about it?
I just want to be clear. We've got to get out. No evidence at this point that the White House is involved in a cover-up.
And I hope that they don't get involved.
Joe, I'm sure you do. Reviewing once again, do you have any? No.
Any evidence?
No, you do not.
No. But we'll keep looking.
But I have a spidey sense that some evidence exists that they're hiding from us.
Nancy
which is
Pelosi.
A cover-up, which is why... See, it's circular.
Nancy, I'm telling you, this is connected. It is no accident. It is a decision, and it is as clear as can be. It's not only to monopolize his time, it's to undermine his name.
By the way, Elijah Cummings, the ranking Democrat on the Oversight Committee, said, I'm calling on Speaker Boehner to come forth and show strong leadership and sit down with the Attorney General.
I don't think he said Speaker
Boehner. He called him Boehner.
Okay.
That may be the outcome preferred by some moderate Republicans, they're saying, who face attacks that the Holder flare-up as a political distraction, you think, from the issue voters care most about. So, we'll see if this thing goes through with it this week.
Mm-hmm.
58 minutes after the hour. All right, we will talk about the Supreme Court ruling on the Arizona immigration law and much more as we continue 58 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Here's what you missed during the commercial break. I burped, and Jim said...
That sounded like something that would come out of an alpaca.
Which made me laugh uncontrollably.
This is what we do.
That's so
this
random.
This is how we do it.
I remember when I was out of work for a couple of years, I considered raising alpacas. I was up late at night watching TV. I'm like, I could do that. I could raise alpacas.
That's when they were running those alpaca commercials. I remember those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, alpaca lover, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, sexy liberal, high-strung tour director Roland says Columbus, August, what is that, August 18th, meet and greet seats are now sold out totally, but we're filling up the rest of the house left and right. Better grab them quick. L.A., oh, my God. The box office released four pair of meet and greet VIP tickets. See, sometimes they hold them back and they release them, and then there's a stampede. So you would have to, those are probably actually gone now.
No.
But anyway, good luck for July 28th. The big LA extravaganza where you'll be there. You and you'll be there and
yep.
Rebecca and
you
open the show
you
like
were
usual.
There and you were
celebrity
there.
Panel is going to be off the hook with special surprises in LA.
Off the chain?
At the Pantages. Oh, yes, my friends. Okay. Speaking of excitement, Jody from Chicago. Steph, I just heard Orly Tates will be on your show.
Yep.
Tomorrow, right there in studio, hour number three, in this very hour tomorrow.
And we will let her finish.
Yeah, we are going to let her finish. I love my Cheerios with a side of crazy. Can't wait for that. Me too. Also, just found out Hannity was on your show. I recently saw a picture of you and Hannity together, and though it pains me to say this, you two look cute together. Such a handsome couple.
You kind of do look
handsome,
cute together.
Romantic. Yeah.
Dick.
Splat. Okay. But we have a... Oh, and Rocky Mountain Mike did a new song for Orly.
I know Obama's Muslim, I can prove. He's a Kenyan and a Martian, too.
Martian.
Yes. Birth announcements, they don't bother me. Cause I know he has a time machine. Oh, I'm a burger, he's a burger, she's a burger, we're all burgers. Wouldn't you like to be a burger, too?
Let me explain.
Oh, I'm a burger, he's a burger.
We have to see, is it real?
Wouldn't you like to be a burger, too? Be a burger, scream, bloody burner. Be a burger, magna cum nerder. Be a burger, take stupid further. Be a burger.
Yay! We'll all be birthers tomorrow. All right, so in case you just tuned in, the Supreme Court rejects part of the law that require immigrants to carry papers, forbid applying to work, is the Chiron
right.
This morning. We have Doug Kendall, who is the president and founder of the Constitutional Accountability Center. Huh? I got that all out.
That's right.
Good morning, Doug. Good. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Sure.
Obviously, the first news report, it was reported as a victory for President Obama. Of course, Jan Brewer has just said that this is a victory for the rule of law. What the, Doug?
I think the first news reports are a lot more accurate than Governor Brewer's statement.
Than Governor Bonefinger? Really? All right. Break it down for us.
Well, so there were four provisions of SB 1070 before the court. And the Supreme Court said three or four of them have to go, and the fourth has to be limited. And so Governor Brewer is declaring victory on a partial victory on one of the sections. It's the most important section. It's the section that requires law enforcement officials to check about the immigration status of people that they encounter in otherwise lawful arrests. And so it's the provision that is most likely to cause racial profiling. And so it's definitely a troubling. It's definitely troubling that the Supreme Court has let that go into effect, but they did require, or effectively require, that that provision get limited, and the court struck down three other very important provisions of the Act and said they were completely in conflict with federal law, which is a very big deal.
So, Doug, Chris, the way you explain this to me is, you know, for us lay people out there,
sure.
You know, because I think the president talked about, you know, you're going out for ice cream with your family and you can get pulled over and ask for your papers. So this is, for a lay person, how do you explain this, that you can't just be pulled over for looking, quote unquote, like you're illegal, right?
Well, there's the question of what is a lawful stop, and you shouldn't be, if you're just out having ice cream, you shouldn't be pulled over in the first place. And there will be challenges to how this provision of the law is implemented. So if it's clear that Arizona cops, if Joe Arpaio is pulling over people for being brown in Arizona, then he should be slapped down under the Equal Protection Clause and another challenge to the Act. But, you know, the court does let the show your papers provision as part of a lawful stop go into effect. What they say, though, is that you cannot hold people, or that the law has to be interpreted in a way that that Arizona can't hold people while they verify their status. And so that's a pretty important limitation even of 2B. And again, I want to emphasize that the court was very clear that the federal government has a preeminent role in setting immigration policy in this country. And they struck down three of the four provisions, and they limited the fourth, and made it very clear that the Obama administration's position, the position that the federal government has held since the beginning of the Republic, that the federal government has the authority to set uniform rules in this area,
right,
has been vindicated by the Supreme Court.
Well,
it's a very important thing.
Right. Doug, that's exactly what I was going to say, that my sense is, this is what the president's argument was in the first place, that, you know, you can't have this patchwork around the country, that you know, that this should be under, federal government purview immigration policy, right?
That's exactly right, and that is more or less vindicated in this opinion, at least as Justice Kennedy described it before the court. And it drew an unbelievably vitriolic dissent by Justice Scalia, who read his dissent, handed it out outside the court. It was really something that it was more appropriate for Fox News than for the Supreme Court dais. So it was a very heated opinion. Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kennedy sided with the liberal wing of the court,
Say that again, Justice Roberts and Justice Kennedy.
It was a 6-3, or no, it's actually a 5-3 ruling, because Justice Kagan didn't participate because she had been involved in this case when she was in the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. So it was 5-3 with Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kennedy siding with the liberal wing of the court to uphold what the Obama administration was doing with the challenge in most parts of the law.
Doug, is there anything to extrapolate from this on what will be now Thursday, right, at Thursday's health care ruling? I mean, in terms of, you know, because this is what Romney's saying now, right, is, oh, let the states do their own health care, right?
He is, and you certainly could argue that the same arguments that support the Obama administration arguments against SB 1070 support the Obama administration arguments for the healthcare law. I would be surprised a little bit if they get the same, you know, the same coalition of justices on that case, but we'll see. It is the same basic premise that the federal government in certain areas has particular authority. I mean, the one thing that is different is the power over immigration and naturalization has the term uniform in it. The Constitution actually uses the term uniform. And so the argument we were making, in particular in this case, is that gives special authority to the federal government in this area and really makes state intrusion into this area particularly suspect. And that seems like it influenced the opinion at least a little bit.
Well, Doug, you mentioned, you know, Scalia, and I've said that before. Sometimes it sounds like he's doing Frank Luntz talking points, you know, Republican talking points. I mean, the fact that the court seems so politicized like that, does that worry you in terms of health care reform? Because, you know, I mean, even some of the way he's phrased arguments in that, right?
It's really disturbing, Stephanie. I think his comments in the oral argument in the healthcare case, his comments on the court in dissent in this case, are just way too political for the Supreme Court's bench. I mean, he brought into the case today the Obama recent enforcement decision, which is totally outside the scope of what was before the court, and he railed against the president's decision to exercise prosecutorial discretion.
And you're right, Doug. This has nothing to do with this.
Nothing to do with
Arizona law
whatsoever. But Justice Scalia decided to bring it into it and give just what is you know, can only be considered a demagogic speech that you would expect by Jan Brewer or Chris Kobach, but not a Supreme Court justice.
Right. And, Doug, I think the tragedy of this is if this is struck down, I mean, you know, they were saying that, you know, if they had called it a tax, that might have, you know what I mean, made it a no-brainer constitutionally,
right,
that they could never have
right.
gotten that passed politically because they've signed a pledge not to America but to Grover Norquist, right?
Right. No, that's right. That's right. They're putting a pledge to Grover. Certainly Republicans have been putting a pledge to Grover Norquist over the pledge to honor the Constitution, which is another disturbing trend in American politics.
But this latest ruling, on balance, a victory for the president, in your opinion?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Doug, thank you so much for joining us on such short notice. It's the USConstitution.org. Doug Kendall is the president and founder of the Constitutional Accountability Center. Thanks so much, Doug. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thank you.
Wow.
He was
great.
He was good and understandable, even for dopes like me.
I know.
Right?
The USConstitution.org.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
All right, 23 minutes after the hour, doing the backstroke through my Monday menopausal head fog to understand all these Supreme Court rulings, which are very complicated.
Yeah, I know, right?
Woo! Okay. A lot of Chardonnay
it's
this
like
weekend.
It's like the Supreme Court did some colon blow. And
right? It's all just blown
out the other end right
up
today.
Wow, yeah. Wait, they took some Senate prompt.
Yeah.
Okay. This morning, the Supreme Court doubled down on its decision to let corporations spend freely, secretly, in a brazen attempt to buy our elections out from under us. Montana's highest court defied the Citizens United ruling by upholding a centuries-old ban on corporate political spending, and the U.S. Supreme Court refused to even hear the case. It means Montana's ban will immediately be struck down, but more importantly means the fight now moves to the ballot box. We are going to talk to Ian Millhiser, who's a legal
analyst.
Thank you.
For the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
About that and the, and apparently the right wing in the blogosphere, they're already spiking the ball on the Arizona law, despite the fact that it clearly is a victory for the president.
Right.
But they're taking, you know, all right. By the way, wow, timely, because Mitt Romney just had rewarded his donors at that fancy Utah retreat this weekend.
Ah.
There's no coordination, you know, but Karl Rove was just there, coincidentally. With his super PAC people.
Yeah. Sure. I'm sure he's going to report on it in his capacity as a Fox News contributor today.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Circle of right-wing life. Okay. In Park City, Utah, 800 top donors gathered in the ballroom of a very fancy, dancy resort.
Fancy and dancy?
Fancy and dancy.
Yes.
Was Pink there?
No. Price tag was, $50,000. It was $50,000 for that ticket.
Whoa!
Included access to, Jeb Bush, Karl Rove, Condoleezza Rice. That's
a prize?
Dream come true.
Yikes. Sounds like punishment to me.
Yeah.
Boy. As well as a briefing from, and a speech by Mitt Romney. Be still my heart. Wow. It was a way of saying thank you to the hundreds of bundlers. While Obama, by the way, discloses his bundler list, Romney shrouds his in secrecy and the goings-on. We're held strictly behind closed doors
this
weekend.
What's he trying to hide?
Oh, what a lineup. This is like Dancing with the Right-Wing Stars. Bobby Jindal, well-known exorcist, Transvaginal Bob was there. Eddie Munster, Paul Ryan, John McCain, Jeb Bush. Yeah.
Condi Rice apparently was the star, according to the Drudge Report.
Oh, that's not what I heard. Karl Rove was described by attendees as the funniest speaker of the weekend.
Oh, and did he do that rap again?
That's quite a potpourri of comedy talent there. Here, you ready?
What?
He began to mimic the Cajun accent of James Carville. Well, because his wife married him.
That's current.
That's what they do. They do the mocking. Oh, yeah. No, Condoleezza Rice delivered a Saturday lunch speech that focused on foreign policy, her area of expertise. Oh, is that her area of expertise? Because it wasn't national security, because the worst national security failure in our history, as you recall, happened on her watch.
Yep.
So I guess foreign policy meaning the war in Iraq, which
sure.
is, as we know, a spectacular foreign policy success. Romney delivered a speech nearly identical to his regular stump and fundraising address, although those who've heard his remarks described him as more confident, comfortable, and enthusiastic than usual. Why? Because he's only comfortable around other rich douches.
Mm-hmm.
He was almost frisky. It's really true, isn't it? That's what he's like among his people. He's
did he shove anyone's face into butter?
I don't know, but that would have been hilarious if he did.
Kicked a hobo on the way in here.
Greg in Atlanta.
And then I sold him an injured horse.
How y'all doing?
Hello, Greg. Go ahead.
First time calling. I love your show.
Thank you.
I want to say that I think this Supreme Court ruling is going to backfire on the Republicans, because I think it's going to mobilize Latinos to head down to the DMV and get their picture ID. And while they're down there, it's going to be like a voter registration form. They're going to get all that out and do it in one lump sum so they could go ahead and vote Democratic. That's what I believe is going to happen.
Wow. Wouldn't that be something? For the first time in history, it'd be like 100% of 100% of the Latino vote won't go for President Obama. Wouldn't that be something? I don't know if it's ever happened. I'm just saying.
Who was that guy we played earlier that was Carlos Gutierrez, Romney advisor?
Yes.
I think he'd be the only guy
that would
vote for Romney.
Yeah.
So I don't think we could ever reach 100%.
Okay. Gene in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Gene.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. I just wanted to say I don't even know if we will be able to celebrate my son's 19th birthday on Thursday. He will be 19, and he's a juvenile diabetic. Only reason he's on our insurance is because of Obamacare.
Yep.
One and only reason.
Yep. Yep.
The existing condition, 19, our plan does not cover him. It only covers him due to Obamacare. So,
yep.
I know. Any right wingers out there listening, thank you very much if this is stricken down.
Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, Gene, you're absolutely right. It's just that's the thing is, you know, in all the political debate, you realize how many real people are going to be affected by it. I mean, this put 33 million people on insurance. I mean, it's I think it was Ezra Klein wrote a piece about all of the things. Because of all the demagoguing, I think a lot of people still don't even know all of the great stuff that's in there that, you know.
And the Government Accountability Office says that it will still lower the deficit, even though, you know, the right wing has been throwing all this chum out there saying, oh, it'll, you know, raise the debt. It won't.
No.
It will lower the deficit.
No, they said it will raise the debt. And it,
that's a lie.
Alligators walking on their hind feet, eating baby children, all sorts of scary, horrible things.
Alligators with bowlers.
With bowler hats. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, Ian Millhiser joins us next to break down all the Supreme Court news this morning on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Remember when I said I'd have to send away to NASA to calculate your bar tab? The results came back today. You owe me $70 billion.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Rick writes, Steph, Rush Limbaugh and Fast and Furious. That's fat and spurious.
That's good.
He's a good one. Okay.
I should have thought of that.
All right. And Joe McCarthy for Daryl Issa, also a listener suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, our listeners are smart and pretty. Okay. We have Ian Millhiser, who is a legal analyst for the Center for American Progress Action Fund, joining us to talk about all the news breaking left and right. Ian, get a helmet, for God's sakes.
Things are falling right on me.
So let's talk about the bad news first. By a 5-4 vote, they struck down Montana's 100-year-old ban on corporate election spending without even allowing a full briefing or argument in the case. The decision reverses the Montana Supreme Court decision, which upheld the law due to the state's dramatic history of corruption. And I know that, people were hoping this would revisit the disastrous Citizens United ruling, right?
That's right. I mean, it's not a shame, but it's unfortunate. I mean, rather, it's not a surprise, but it's a shame. I mean,
right.
What happened here is that the Montana Supreme Court essentially gave the finger to Citizens United, and it presented an opportunity for the Supreme Court to realize, oh, wait a second, where we said that letting corporations spend as much money as they want won't lead to corruption in our system, turns out that was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the 5-4 court today said that they would not reconsider that opinion, and that means that Citizens United is here probably until we get some new personnel on the Supreme Court.
Mm. I mean, you know, I know this is like a sort of opinion question, but I mean, is that part of it? They don't want to admit they're wrong, essentially.
I mean, I think that they honestly believe that they are right. Now, I mean, it's funny. There was a poll that came out recently that said more Americans believe in spells and witchcraft. That was a quote from one poll. Than agree with the Citizens United decision. So, you know, the five justices may be the only people in America who think that Citizens United was correctly decided, but they are clinging to that belief.
Mm. Let's talk about the Arizona, the immigration law. So, you know, obviously the early reports casting it as a victory for the president. And meanwhile, Governor Jan Brewer is claiming it's a victory for her or for the rule of law or whatever. Break this down for us. They obviously struck down the key elements of it.
Right. So the Obama administration got about 85% of what it wanted here.
A win for Jan Brewer.
Yeah, exactly. A 50% win for Jan Brewer is obviously, yeah. What happened is that there's various provisions in the Arizona law that create new crimes, including a crime basically making it, if you try to work as an undocumented immigrant, if you try to be in Arizona and you don't have papers, it's now a crime. All of that was struck down. The bad news is that the so-called show me your papers provision, the provision requiring police to check people's immigration status, was not struck down, but it was limited so that Arizona can't detain people for extra time in order to determine their immigration status. So if someone's jaywalking, the court says that they can't then take them to jail for jaywalking and let them sit in a jail cell while we wait and find out whether this person is a citizen or not. Most of the provisions that were challenged were struck down. The one that was upheld was limited. The Obama administration, I think, had a pretty good day in court today.
Ian, obviously the tea leaf game of the day is does this mean anything for, you know, the healthcare ruling on Thursday? And if so, what is it?
I mean, I think I'm cautious to read tea leaves. You know, I will say that the oral argument we had in the SB 1070 case did not go well. I did not think that they were going to limit the show me your papers provision in the way they did, and we got a better opinion today than I would have expected from the oral argument we had several weeks ago. You know, we also had an oral argument that didn't go so well in the healthcare case, and so hopefully this means that we will again get a better opinion and that the justices in both cases were just sort of venting.
Well, I know, you know, your area of expertise is the law, but I'm just wondering politically, I heard one person speculate that, you know, what is the best case scenario of all the four scenarios that could happen? And if it's upheld in its entirety, they're saying, well, then that could mobilize the Republican base that doesn't like it. How do you see this playing out legally and politically?
You know, I was under the impression that the Republican base is pretty darn motivated over this. I'm not one of those people who thinks that the sort of folks who show up dressed as Paul Revere and hold misspelled signs in front of the Capitol need any more motivation right now to keep dressing like Paul Revere.
Ian, hilarious. All right, we will check back in with you, I'm sure, on Thursday when the ruling comes down. Thanks so much, as always, for your time this morning.
Sure thing.
All right, there he goes. He explains things in ways that I can understand.
Andy laughs at your jokes.
Ha ha ha. And he makes just the Beatles just like Ball Review. Okay. Can I just say, wow, Gawker,
what?
Oddly enough, has one of the best things about Fast and Furious.
Yeah, absolutely.
The GOP is unbelievably full of on executive privilege, and here's why. And it's a whole breakdown of, by the way, Adam, Representative Adam Schiff, who sat right in that chair before.
That's
Democrat
right.
of the great state of California.
Whether it's part of a broader scheme, I wouldn't go there. But frankly, I think the most important point is that this is a just another partisan political tool that's distracting us from the important work of not only finishing the actual investigation into the agent's death, but also dealing with this horrific level of gun violence and this mutually destructive trade we have with Mexico.
Okay, let me Gawker fun facts. It's not the place you would normally go.
But this was really well crystallized.
John Cook at Gawker. The Fox News wing of the Republican Party, which is to say the Republican Party, has concluded that Barack Obama is a 21st century Richard Nixon because he conjured a dreaded wicked trick called executive privilege to cover up his manifest crimes. Hey, only Republicans are allowed to do that. But, I mean, he just breaks it down, right, Chris? Like, you know, he basically says, here's a list of the things you're likely to hear from conservative pundits about executive privilege and why they're lies.
Yep.
Number one, Obama's attempting to cover up the White House's role in Fast and Furious. We just heard that clip on Fox News. Chris Wallace says, do you have any evidence? No.
No, I do not.
No, I really.
But I have a spidey sense. It tells me that the fact that there's no evidence proves there's evidence.
Right. Gawker says, ISA is investigating an operation that took place from November 2009 when it was launched to January 2011 when the indictments it resulted in were unsealed. Obama only inserted privilege over post-February 4th, 2011 documents. Documents generated after Fast and Furious was shut down. He's not... Anyway. Hmm. If any documents exist showing a connection between the White House and Fast and Furious while it was running, and Obama has claimed publicly he only became aware of it after it was shut down, no one is claiming executive privilege over them. So, once again, that's why that's bull. Okay. Mm-hmm. We move on. Boner said the president's decision to invoke executive privilege over documents from the Department of Justice reaching beyond communications concerning the president and close advisors raises very serious questions.
Uh-huh.
It's very serious.
Very serious. It's so serious, I don't have a drink on it.
Gawker writes, bull. George W. Bush repeatedly invoked it over documents beyond communications concerning the president and close advisors, and Boner wasn't raising very serious questions about it back then. He goes through case after case, including in 2008, Bush invoked privilege over justice documents about the investigation and the leaking of Valerie Plame's name, which we talked about.
I can't say what the questions are because it's a secret.
There were no serious questions.
And
though,
I
at
don't
all.
Remember Boner had, anyway.
Here's another lie. Bush invoked executive privilege, but never to cover up crimes. No one has articulated precisely what crime Obama is covering up here. The talking point, Obama is Nixonian. Bull. This is a great piece, John writes here. You know who's Nixonian? All the Republicans still currently revealed by the GOP who served in the Nixon White House.
Yep, yeah.
Like Cheney and Rumsfeld and former Assistant White House Counsel Fred Fielding. You know what makes him even more Nixonian? He's the guy who Nixonianly urged his boss, George W. Bush, who had hired him as White House Counsel, to invoke executive privilege to keep Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton from testifying about the U.S. attorney firings. That's pretty damn Nixonian, huh?
Yep. Yeah.
And you know what else is Nixonian? Hatching a plot to launch a right-wing news network with taxpayer dollars operated out of the Nixon White House. And then I went over this piece from Gawker before about the fact that this same Border Patrol agent he would have been dead. He said these were not our own weapons. They were weapons gunrunners purchased, smuggled to Mexico. The fact ATF agents were watching them do so, tracking serial numbers, does not mean they were our weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Precisely the same weapons would have gone to precisely the same places if Fast and Furious had never been launched, and Terry would still be dead.
Which proves that Obama's trying to take your guns away. What?
Anyway, he concludes by saying, anyone in the Republican Party, unless they joined in January 2009 complaining about Obama's use of executive privilege as an opportunistic hack... who has no interest in congressional oversight and every interest in generating a partisan storm to damage their enemies.
There you go.
Thank you, John Cook at Gawker. Normally we just go there for the funnies, but that was a really good breakdown of Fast and Furious. Dan in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dan. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. I was just going to say that Jan Brewer is right in the fact that this ruling is the Supreme Court ruling is a victory for the rule of law. It's been established law that federal government has preeminence in dealing with immigration, and the Supreme Court upheld that, which just goes to show you that a blind willfully ignorant, fat ass crazy squirrel can't find a nut sometimes.
All right, thank you. That was a, that's a legal thing. Okay.
yeah.
Wow, speaking of crazy conspiracy theories, guess who's back?
Who?
Back. Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, no.
She did an interview on American Family Association Sandy Rios radio show.
Oh, yeah, we played sound bites from her on Right Wing World.
She claimed that the Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated various departments of the U.S. government.
Sure. Of course they have. And you have proof.
It's gotten all Muslim-y.
Hidden in Marcus's dance belt.
Right.
Oh, dear.
45 minutes.
Some people say.
That's not true. It's in his leg warmer. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Let me finish. Tomorrow. What? Orly Kate's right in that chair tomorrow. Although Jim may switch with her so she can get out quicker.
They're
doing over-unders on how long Orly's going to make it.
That's too soon. You can leave in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Really? But, I don't let her finish. I'm very excited about it.
But before that, in hour two,
great.
Cassandra Peterson.
Elvira. Yeah, right there.
And her boobs.
She's within groping distance. Yes.
Jim
dangerous.
Will block her in so he can look at her boobuses. Not let her leave. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, well, look at this. Dick Cheney's daughter got married to her longtime partner.
We send congratulations to the happy couple.
Yes, of course we do. Mary Cheney, the former VP expressed delight that the couple could have their relationship recognized. You know when would have been nice? Is back during the 2004 campaign when you were winning on gay bashing. That would have been a nice time to have the relationship recognized.
You know what, though?
If you don't like it, you can go. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes.
I appreciate all of the work that former Vice President Cheney has done on behalf of gay couples who want to get married.
Other than that,
he testified in Maryland when they were deciding whether to legalize same-sex marriage in Maryland. He testified in favor of it.
Well, he was happy to let them go ahead with those ads with the two men on a wedding cake so that he could win the 2000.
I know.
He said,
but since then, he's been quite the advocate for...
Mary and Heather and their children are very important and much-loved members of our family. Children! All concerned women of America must be concerned about that. They have children!
Please, they got the children!
Oh, my God. They released a statement yet? Okay, Jim.
Hmm?
No, this is not about... Yes, Alex Trebek did have a mild heart attack on Friday. He's fine. However, we were wondering, did he have to phrase his symptoms in the form of a question? All right.
I wasn't ready for that.
Who said, in my 2007 book, The Future of Marriage, and in my 2010 court testimony concerning Proposition 8, the California ballot initiative that defined marriage between a man and a woman, I took a stand against gay marriage. But as a marriage advocate, the time has come for me to accept gay marriage and emphasize the good it can do. Huh?
Wow.
Who said that?
Bruce Valanche.
No. Bad guess. David... That would have been funny if he was a witness against Prop 8. That would be funny. And now Bruce Valanche. Okay. It was David Blankenhorn, who was the star
and
witness.
Oh.
Yes. He was
the star witness in the Prop 8 case.
Yes.
In favor of Prop 8.
Wow.
He wrote a piece in the New York Times, who said, I don't believe that an opposite sex and same-sex relationship are the same, but I do believe with a growing number of Americans, the time for denigrating or stigmatizing same-sex relationships is over. Whatever one's definition of marriage, legally recognizing gay and lesbian couples and their children is a victory for basic fairness.
Wow.
Wow. No, that's not who said that. It's the same guy, David
Kylie Minogue.
Blankenhorn. No! Now I can't get it out of my head. That would have been funny. Bruce Valanche.
Yeah.
And now... for the pro-family side. Here's Bruce Vilage. Okay, if fighting gay marriage was going to help marriage overall, I think we'd have seen some signs of it by now. So my intention is to try something new. Instead of fighting gay marriage, I'd like to help build new coalitions bringing together gays who want to strengthen marriage with straight people who want to do the same.
Wow.
Who said that?
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Really spectacularly bad round of guest to quote this morning in honor of Alex Trebek. No, David Blankenhorn. Very, very exciting. Mm. Yeah, let's hear it.
Wow.
Okay. All right.
I'll take the penis, might ya.
By the way, we're not saying, we're just saying, Jerry Sandusky, as it turns out, registered Republican.
Hello.
Just saying, family values guy.
Wow. Interesting.
Linda Kelly, the Pennsylvania Attorney General on Friday.
Jury of 12 people here in Bellefonte, PA, most definitely would and did believe a kid.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Did Joe Amendola, Sandusky's attorney, really try this?
Yeah.
After the, oh boy.
There are lots of people sitting in jails all across this country who are innocent. There have been people, lots of people.
Yeah, the crowd didn't like that.
Not your guy. Okay. Oh, look, isn't this wonderful? Eddie, Paul Ryan's being vetted for VP.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Time for you to go on the campaign trail.
I won't. You can't.
That sounds just like Paul Ryan.
Yeah. Come to think of it.
Wow, these stories just not good. First, Washington Post story on Bain Capital, but they had a lot of companies that specialized, I tell you.
Yes.
Not just accidental, specialized in outsourcing jobs.
I enjoy firing
overseas.
People.
And
yeah.
Offshoring jobs.
Offshoring and outsourcing.
Yes. Offshoring is when you just take the job and it's never, ever coming
and
back.
And shove it in
yeah.
China.
Yep.
Take the job and shove it into India or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
A New York Times analysis reveals the private equity firm made money even as companies it invested in went bankrupt. Huh. Well, we knew that before, but they've done a whole little breakdown here. Bain held a majority stake in more than 40 U.S.-based companies. Of those companies, at least seven eventually filed for bankruptcy, while Bain remained involved shortly afterward. In some of those instances, most of those cases, however, records and interviews suggest Bain and its executives still found a way to make money, Jim.
Huh.
It's weird. Bain structured deals so it was difficult for the firm and its executives to ever really lose, even if practically everyone else involved with the company that Bain owned did.
I know how to create jobs.
Mm-hmm.
In China.
Yes. Yeah, which is what that was one of your lines before they even did the Washington Post story, Jim Ward. Mm-hmm.
Wow. He's really going to run on that.
Can I just say, this guy has, as we've been saying all morning, subpoena power, Daryl Issa, Joe McCarthy.
Wow.
The Obama administration, this is the theory, intentionally handed over automatic weapons to Mexican drug cartels who they knew would commit violent acts because they wanted to scare Americans into supporting stricter gun laws.
Right.
The man who started the conspiracy theory, Mike Vanderbog.
And he's with...
He's a man who once called for militias to break the windows of members of Congress because of the passage of the Affordable Care Act.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So,
that's the Dutch for
yeah,
from
major
the toilet.
Republicans, including... Darryl
he seems to be a fan of the violence.
Hmm. Yeah, Daryl Issa said on Fox, very clearly they made a crisis, and they're using this crisis to somehow take away or limit people's
yes,
Second Amendment
somehow.
Rights. And that guy gets subpoena power.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, and the NRA, of course, driving conspiracy theory paranoia through ads about this, and
mm-hmm.
they're all in bed together.
Hmm.
Okay.
Wow. It's
oh.
like hiring a pyromaniac to judge an arson case.
Billy in Texas. Oh, gosh, we only have about 30 seconds for you. What a shame. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, it is a shame. Stephanie, right? By the way, you've got really great posture.
Thank you.
Listen, two things jumped out at me this morning about your show. One is mm-hmm. the misrepresentation on this Supreme Court decision, and the other one is the misrepresentation about whether or not there's any evidence that the Obama administration conspired during this gun-running operation.
Daryl Issa said himself there is no evidence.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
But thanks for
joining.
Okay,
me.
There you
oh,
go.
Gosh, such a shame we ran out of time.
Yeah, but
there.
Such a Shonda.
Yeah, but stuff.
He just shot himself in the foot, and we had to get rid
socialist.
Of him. Okay, that's it for us. Don't forget Orly Tate tomorrow.
Oh,
Elvira in studio. It's a extravaganza. Don't miss it tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.